And last week was a wild one for China's economy. First, interest rates on the loans that banks give each other spiked. As the banks struggled to get money, stock markets dropped not only in China but throughout Asia and briefly in New York. Things have calmed down since then, but the crisis showed how China's new leaders are just beginning to confront some fundamental problems in the world's second largest economy. We're going to NPR's Frank Langford in Shanghai to tell us what they're doing. And good morning.
Good morning, Renee.
Remind us what sparked this panic in the first place.
Well, the big context really here is this is the first shot by the new government in a kind of a battle to fix China's financial system. Banks were getting squeezed for cash as they usually do towards the end of the second quarter. And usually the government will come in and pour money into the system. This time they didn't do it and credit started to freeze up. What the government was doing was sending kind of a tough new message to financial firms and banks and saying, basically, you've got to get your house in order. There's been a lot of credit growth here in recent years. The government's worried about bad loans, not good projects. And they're particularly concerned about a sector of the finance industry called the shadow banking business.
The shadow banking, Frank, what exactly is that?
Well, shadow banking is really interesting. China's formal financial system is quite inefficient and kind of outdated. The government controls deposit rates. It keeps them low, often give not very good returns to people. The state banks have a monopoly, and they only like to usually lend to state companies. So what has happened is people have set up investment trusts that can funnel money to companies and return much higher rates to people. The problem is this has grown really fast, about 300% in recent years. The government's worried that a lot of that money has been going into the real estate bubble here, and so the new leadership wants to reduce that growth to avoid a crash.
Now, here's something one can't help thinking. China is a one-party state. Why can't the Communist Party, which has so much power, just dictate changes?
Because actually, the political system here, in one sense, is actually a lot more like the U.S. than you would think. There are lots of moneyed vested interests here, like those state banks I was talking about. So let's say you wanted to introduce a lot more bank competition. The monopoly banks, they got big profits. They don't want to see that. And so they try to fight it. Now, right now, what the government's saying is we're really serious now. We've got to have a much more efficient system, and we're going to make changes. I was talking to a guy yesterday named Oliver Ray. He's a finance professor here in Shanghai at China-Europe International Business School. And he put it this way, is how kind of a lot of economists are seeing it these days.
Don't underestimate the determinations of new government. They are very serious because it's a threat to the safety of their power and also the country.
Well, then let's get back to the heart of the matter. China is such a huge global player. How much is at stake here for the government and China as a whole?
I think really, in the long run, it's the future of the country and the political leadership. They know that the economic model they have now isn't going to work anymore. Cheap exports are pretty much over, and they need to make a lot of changes. And one is they need a much more efficient banking system, getting money into the parts of the economy that create jobs, that create growth. And so as the economy now continues to slow, people think you're going to see a lot more push for change from the new leadership. And they say, frankly, the new leaders don't have any choice.
That's NPR's Frank Langfitt speaking to us from Shanghai. Thanks very much, Frank.
Happy to do it, Renee.